I want to thank God for the 21-day Daniel fast that we're all embarking on. I know that as the Lord has spoken to us, He will make this a year of accelerated miracles and guaranteed victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This next few Wednesdays, I'm going to be taking some time to minister to us on the theme that I have titled, God Guarantees Your Victory. God Guarantees Your Victory. This is a very, very powerful and very important series or set of teachings that the Lord is helping me to get into, and that I believe that all of us can get into together, even beyond whatever we share in our meetings online. I believe that all of us will be able to dig in further into the Word of God to get further illumination and more help. I know that the Holy Spirit will help us. I know He will be faithful. His grace will be more than sufficient. So I'm very excited for us to get into this series of teachings. Of course, as you know, that's one part of the theme that the Lord has given us for 2019, Guaranteed Victory. And the title here is God Guarantees Your Victory. So we know that God is assuring us that we will win, we will conquer, we'll overcome, we'll have the victory. Let's use I'll give you our text in just a minute, but I want us to back into it. Read a couple of verses first in 1 John chapter 5. So if you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verses 4 and 5, and then I'm going to back up to our theme for tonight. I'm going to give you a subtitle for the direction that we're going in tonight, but the general topic that we'll be studying over the next few Wednesdays during the Daniel fast is God Guarantees Your Victory. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Let me read that again. It says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcomes the world, that overcometh the world, but he that believeth or believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" There's a very important reason why that question is asked by the writer of the epistle of John. But I want you to take a minute and just look at verse 4 again. The first line there says, "Whatsoever." Now we know it's whosoever, because God is talking to people, and He's talking to us, His people, His children. But notice it says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's certain, it's definite, it's very clear from the Word of God that it's not just a whosoever. If a whatsoever became born of God, whoever is born of God is what the Bible is telling us. If anyone at all is born of God, anyone, most we know we're talking about human beings. But even if it was possible for a what, an inanimate person, inanimate object, to be born of God, the moment that thing or that person is born of God, immediately they become world overcomers. They overcome the world. The Word of God tells us that's to qualify that there is no qualification. There is to qualify, there is no qualification as far as the subject matter. There is a qualification as far as what the person has or who the person is, but there is no qualification as far as who the subject matter is whatsoever. Or, since we're all human beings, I know we know God was writing this to his people, whosoever, whosoever, black, white, brown, regardless of tribe, regardless of ethnicity, whosoever, regardless of background, regardless of education, regardless of societal status, whosoever, regardless of anything else that we come in with, we come into the tribe with, whosoever, whosoever. So that means you can overcome the world if you are born. This is the only qualification, is whosoever is born of God. If you are born of God, then you can. In fact, the Bible says you have overcome the world. And I like it, because the literal translation says you have. The Amplified says whatsoever is born of God is victorious over the world. So it's a given. It's not gonna, it's not something being debated, it's not subject open to debate. It's not based on experience, on different individual experiences. It's a given. If you are born of God, you overcome the world. Let's move on. Let's move along real quick, because sometimes I know it's tempting to try to delve so deeply into some of these things just so that our understanding is enlightened. But again, like I said, you know, it's a month of fasting, so I know all of us have the time, including the preacher, to get more into the word and get more illumination as the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen. But so keep that in mind, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Then he says, who is he that overcomes the world? That's verse 5. But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, that part of it is how we become born of God. Remember, the first verse says, whosoever is born of God. Well, how do we become born of God? We become born of God by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, by accepting him into our lives as our Lord and Savior. So this second verse is actually even helping us qualify further or understand further the first verse. What are we talking about? God guarantees your victory. What's the first lesson we learn from this? Whosoever, anyone, anything, if they are born of God, they will overcome the world. And actually, the Bible doesn't say they will. It says they have. They have already, regardless of what their experiences are. They have. They just don't realize it. They have already. And who is it that is born of God? It's he or she that has accepted Christ into their lives as their Lord and Savior. Notice also, it doesn't say how long you've accepted him. Maybe you've accepted him 20 years, 25, 30. Or maybe you've accepted him 20 days, 25 days, 2 years, 2 months. It doesn't matter. It's once you are born of God, that you've accepted Jesus, you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you have overcome the world. Amen. Now back up a little bit to our theme. This is actually our, this is the verse that we're going to delve into very strongly tonight. And that is in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. So we're going to go from 1 John 5, 4 and 5. We're going to back up to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Look at what it says. It says, you are of God. You are of God. We have just talked a little bit about that. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's the them? The world. Everything that is associated with the world, the cosmos, the physical, social, experiential world, everything that comes out of the world that is not spirit born, but that is worldly, it's born of the world, it's physical, it's natural, all of that. He says you have overcome them. So if it's spiritual forces, but spiritual forces that are rulers over the world, if it's circumstances or situations, family problems, physical problems, financial issues, anything that is of the world, relationships, things that have to do with people, the natural aspects of life, or even things that are born of the spirit but not of the spirit of God, things that are born of that contrary spirit, that person who is called the God of this world, all of those are in the world. And the Bible says you are of God, little children. So that's you and I. We are of God, and we have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's read that verse together. If you have your Bibles open, let's read it together. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Amplified reads this way. It says, little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, mightier than he who is in the world. What I like to do is actually read a few versions and then zero in a little bit, talk a little bit about what it means to be, to overcome or to have victory, and then we'll press further in this teaching. Now, before we read the other versions that I have here, there's quite a number of versions, and you will see the different things they say. But I want you to focus on the subtitle, what I'm focusing on tonight, that the general direction is, the general topic of our teachings on Wednesdays is God guarantees your victory. But my subtitle for tonight's teaching is know who you are of. Know who you are of. Know who you are of. This is very important. Know who you are of. I just want to say to you that victory in life does not begin with fasting and prayer or church attendance, things like that. Even though things like that aid our ability to gain victory, but the victory in life doesn't start from those things. Victory in life really begins from digging into the Word of God with a dogged determination to discover and realize who you are in Christ. Let me say that again. Victory in life does not begin with fasting and praying or church attendance and things like that, even though those things will aid our gaining victory in life. But it doesn't begin from there. Victory in life really begins from digging into the Word of God with a dogged determination to discover and realize who you are in Christ. Very important. So our subtitle is Know Who You Are Of. That's really where where victory in life begins from, knowing who you are, knowing who you are of. Now, we've read the King James that says you are of God, little children. So it tells us who we are of. It says we are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Some of the translations put it a little differently, but you see it's basically the same focus. One says you are of God. Another says, you belong to God. I like that. You belong to God. Another one says, you are from God. I really like that one. That's the English Standard Version. It says, you are from God. You are from God. Therefore, you have overcome them. The Contemporary English Version says, you belong to God. I like that too. They're all saying the same thing, but you can see the different sides and the different variations of how this is expressed. You belong to God. You are from God. You are of God. And this is the general idea. You belong to God. You are of God. You are from God. And on. And basically, those are the four ways in which all of these different translations actually describe it. So, very important. Know who you are of. You are of God, the Bible tells us. Know who you belong to. You belong to God, the Bible tells us. Know who you are from. You are from God, the Bible tells us. Know who is inside you. God is inside you, the Bible tells us. So look at that scripture again. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's zero in just for a minute and look at the world overcometh. You have overcome them. Whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This word overcome is from a word that means to conquer, nikao, to conquer, to prevail, to have victory is what it means. And different translators and different ones who break it down kind of help us. Someone who overpowers another. That's what it means to have victory, to overcome. Someone who prevails over another. This generally tends to have a sense of a struggle. It tends to suggest a sense of some battle, some fight, some struggle. So it doesn't give us the impression that this is just a given based on no activity. It gives us the impression our victory is a given based on who we are of, but there is a struggle, is what the Word of God is teaching us here. It says that you are victorious, you prevail. I like this one in the Strong's. It says to subdue, to conquer, to get the victory. That's what that word overcome means. And people like Thayer tell us to carry the victory away. That is, you went to war and you took the victory away of Christ, who was victorious over all of his enemies of Christians that are victorious just like Jesus, based on their faith in God. I like that. It says when one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, to maintain one's course. When you win a case, that is, there was a struggle, there was a battle, but you won. You came out overcoming. In fact, look at the word overcome. That is, you come over. Hallelujah. You overcome. So victory means we win. Victory means we prevail. Victory means we subdue our enemy. And child of God, is a good place to begin to say this to you. God, through his word, not through anything else, not through anything in the natural or whatever, but God, through his word, guarantees your victory in life. I want us to get into some of the nitty-gritties of it tonight. I trust the Holy Spirit to help us and grant us speed and grace and understanding. But there's some very crucial, very important things that I believe the Lord will help us learn from this. So to be victorious, not temporarily, but absolutely. And you would even see as we go along in some of the teachings, the different ways in which victory unfolds. You may see some of that even from the teaching tonight. I don't know that we'll get there. But victory is absolute, but it unfolds. It's absolute, but it unfolds. Why does it unfold? Because there's a struggle. If it was just a given based on nothing, then it wouldn't need to unfold. You know, victory would just be there. You just get up, victory is already there. No, but there's a fight. And of course, from last year, if you ever joined our teachings towards the end of the year, you know, we really, really, on our Bible study days on Wednesdays, we really, really studied a lot about the faith that wins. It's all in the same context, same direction. And you know, faith is a fight. We know that. We've already talked about that. So that is what it means to overcome. Those are the different aspects of it. Now, why is it important? Why did I make that statement that I made initially earlier on when I said gaining victory in life does not begin from any other thing other than digging into the Word of God with a dogged determination to discover and to realize who you are in Christ? Doesn't mean other things are not helpful, like we're going through a season of fasting and praying. But if all you are doing is just fasting, being hungry, and then you spend some time praying, definitely spend some time praying. But if all you do is just that, you are hungry, and then you spend a few minutes here and there pray, but you really don't ever take some dedicated time to get into the Word of God, then you are missing out on one of the biggest advantages of fasting and praying. Because fasting and praying, really part of what it helps us do is to subdue our flesh in such a way that our spirits become very, very sharp, very, very sharp. So we can pray easily, we can receive from God easily. You may not even feel it, but really our spirits just absorb quickly. We just receive very quickly from the Lord. So I do encourage you as you go through your Daniel fast, regardless of what your schedule is, find a way to make it happen. Spend some time in praying and spend some time in the Word of God. If just reading it by itself is sometimes a challenge for you because your mind is cluttered with work, and then find a way to listen to it. You know, have some, you know, something on podcast, something on your phone that you can listen to, and just let the Word of God, let it grow in you through the season. Now, the reason I said victory in life does not begin with fasting and praying or things like church attendance and all of that, although those will help, but that victory in life begins from digging into the Word of God with a dogged determination to discover and realize who you are in Christ, is that victory in life is only guaranteed by God, and the only people who have this guarantee are those who are of God. You see that right there in our text. It says, you are of God, little children. And from the other different translations that we have read, you see some of the other applications. Know who you are of God. Know who you belong to, you belong to God. Know who you are from God. Know who is inside you, God is inside you. Notice it says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater is he. Who is the he that is in you? It's God. God is in you by the Holy Spirit. So greater is he, is the God in you, than anything else, beginning with our ultimate enemy, Satan himself, and anything else that is in the world, regardless of what that thing is, regardless of what those things in the world are. Greater is he that is in you. Can you say that with me? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So that's good. So knowing you are of God and knowing you belong to God, knowing you are from God, knowing God is inside you is the first step to guaranteed victory. So that's why we titled this, Know Who You Are Of. You have to know who you are of. You have to have a persuasion, not a guessing about it. That's why when we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, where it tells us, whoever is born of God is the ones that have believed in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Like I said to you, I don't care if you just did last night. I don't care if you just did last week or 3 weeks ago. That's when you accepted. And then you are already of God. You are already born of God. I don't care if you don't feel like it. I don't care if you think your thoughts, your actions are contrary to the actions of God or to the actions of someone who is born of God. It doesn't matter. You are born of God. That's why this is so important. This realization, this discovery, this journey is so important because this is what brings us to the established status that God already purchased for us through Christ Jesus. Our victory is an established fact, is a truth, and is a settled matter in the Spirit. Whether or not you have victory, wherever you are right now, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about that now. Now, listen to this. Because God is always victorious and God cannot fail, and because you are of God, you are from God, you belong to God and God is inside you. Listen to that now. Because God is always victorious and he cannot fail, and because you are of God, his seed dwells in you. You are from God. The greater one, that's God himself, dwells inside you. You belong to God. You do belong to God. You are God's property. Because of that, and because God who you belong to, God who you are of, God who you are from, cannot fail, and he's always victorious, it means you have already been qualified to be victorious, and really, you have already been qualified to not experience failure. So, you can't lose if you walk in this truth. You can't fail if you walk in this truth. The world cannot conquer you. Satan cannot conquer you if you walk in this truth. This is why it's important to settle this truth. I know who I am. I know who I am of. I know where I am from, who I'm from. I know who I belong to. And I know who dwells inside of me. Very important, very crucial. Once those are settled, my brothers, my sisters, no matter what you are encountering in your life, no matter what you're dealing with, it does not even matter. Once these facts, these truths are settled in your life, you will win. Hallelujah. You must win. There is no way, no way, no how you will win. Why? Because the one who you are from, the one who you are of, the one who you belong to, and the one who dwells inside you has won. He has already won. Therefore, you must win. Actually, you have already won too. The realization of that victory is what sometimes we evolve into, we grow into. But that victory is already guaranteed. I want you to say this with me. Remember, we saw that. He says, you are not of the world. You are of God. Remember? So I want you to say this with me. I am not of the world. I am of God. Say this again and again and again and again until it becomes a settled and registered truth within your heart. I am not of the world. Coyote, I am not of the world. No, no, no. I cannot be conquered by the world. I cannot be beaten by the world. I cannot be overcome by the world. I am not of the world. I am of God. I belong to God. I am from God, and God dwells inside of me. The seed of God dwells inside of me. I want you to say that to yourself over and over again. I am not of the world. I am not of the world. I am of God. I am not of the world. I am of God. Amen. Amen. So keep this in mind. The seed of God is inside you. You were produced by the sperm of God. Therefore, you have God's DNA. Right? This is so powerful. The seed of God is inside. We've established that from the word of God. The seed of God is inside you. You were produced by the sperm. Put that in quotes, but it's actually true. I'll show you that in the Bible in just a minute here. You were produced by the sperm, spermatozoa. That is, the cell of God is what produced you in the spirit. Just like all of us were produced by our father's sperm in the natural. In the same way, we were produced by the sperm of God in the spirit. I'll talk to you about that in just 1 minute. So keep this in mind. The seed of God is inside you. You were produced by the sperm of God. Therefore, you have God's DNA. There is something from God that is within you. There is something about God that is within you. There is something, there is a part that you are a chip cut off from the main rock. There's something of God that is within you. You were created in His image. I know that's true in the natural. I know that's true in the natural. We all know that. But there is even something beyond that, is that when we gave our lives to Christ, the sperm of God created us, recreated us, and we became born again. So the seed of God is inside you. You were produced by the sperm of God. Therefore, you have God's DNA. If you have God's DNA, and God is more than a conqueror, God is a winner, God has never lost a fight, God is the Lord of the battle, the Lord of the victory, the Lord of the breakthrough, then that means you have a part of that victory. You have a part of that breakthrough. You have a part of win within your DNA. Amen. Now listen to this. This is very important. No matter how you feel about life, or whatever you are dealing with in your life right now, you have already won. Let me say that to you again. No matter how you feel about life, or whatever you are dealing with in your life right now, you have already won. Now, that is the truth. I've just shown you that from the word of God. That is the truth. No matter how you feel about it, you may feel like a loser. You may feel like the world is dominating you. You may feel like, you know, one of the translations, one of the explanations of victory is to dominate something, to dominate someone. So to have dominion. So when the Bible says you have the victory, it means you dominate the world. It means you have dominion over the world. Now, you may feel like the world is dominating you. You may feel like circumstances and situations are dominating you. But that is not the truth. I've just shown you that from the word of God. Regardless of how you feel and regardless of how actually your real life experiences are, that is not the truth. The word of God is the truth. Remember, Jesus said that thy word is truth. So anything you find in the word is truth. We have just found in the word tonight that we are of God, we are from God, we belong to God, and God is inside us because we are born again. We are children of God. Therefore, as a result of that, we dominate the world. That is the truth. So no matter how you feel about life or whatever you are dealing with in your life right now, you have already won. Now, I want to say that in conjunction with this, you need to accept, you need to agree with, you need to believe that you are of God, that you belong to God, that you are from God, and that God dwells within you. When you believe that and when you agree with that, that truth will become a settled fact in your life. Very important. When you agree with that truth, when you believe that truth wholeheartedly, when you accept that truth in your life, that truth will become a settled fact in your life. You may think right now, the fact is that you are being dominated by the world. You are losing every fight. You can hardly keep your head above the waters. Maybe some people are like that. I don't know. Maybe there's someone online who is feeling that for different reasons. That usually is just a product of the lie of the enemy. He is a deceiver. So the mere fact that the enemy is saying that to you is confirmation that it's not true. The word of God is truth. And the word of God is saying to you, have already overcome the enemy. Amen. Somebody say that. Say, I have already overcome the world. Say that one more time. I have already overcome the world. Say this. I am of God. Say this. I am from God. Say this. I belong to God. Say this. God is in me. Therefore, I have overcome the world. That means I have the victory over the world, everything in the cosmos of the world. That means I prevail. That means I win. That means I conquer. That means I subdue. That's the truth. No matter what I feel, and no matter what my experience, real life experiences are, those are subject to change. The truth of God's word is the settled fact in my life that I'm more than a conqueror, that I have the victory and I overcome the world. Amen. Let me ask you this. Please don't feel offended. This is just something to underscore a point. Who is your biological father? Who is your biological father? Now, there might be some of us who don't know our biological father, but I believe most people, most human beings, and most people listening to this teaching online tonight, most of us know our biological father. Now, there might be a few who, by virtue of circumstances, not their fault, nothing that they are responsible for personally, may not know. But regardless, the principle and the truth that I'm about to state to you here, that I'm about to say to you here, still holds whether or not we know our biological father. But think about it. If you know your biological father, who is your biological father? Now listen to this. You have something from that man that identifies you with him. All of us have a biological father. He's not a woman, he's a man. Amen. You have something from your biological father that identifies you with him. Listen to this. Good or bad, you carry something that he carries. Listen to this. Good or bad, you exhibit something that he exhibits. Listen to this. Good or bad, some things in your life right now mirror some things in his life. He may be living or he may already be passed on. But all these truths hold, regardless of who our biological dads are, our biological father, the one who deposited a natural sperm that was responsible for us coming into this world, that was responsible for us being that egg from our mother being fertilized, and then we became who we are. Remember, that sperm came from our biological father. As a result, we carry something in his DNA. As a result, good or bad, there is something about us that identifies us with him. Good or bad, there is something we carry that our father carries. Good or bad, there is something our father exhibits or exhibited, if they're already gone, that we exhibit. Good or bad, there are some things in our lives that mirror some things in their lives, whether they are here or they are already gone. This is very important. Now, this is an established truth that no human being in their right senses would ever argue with. Anyone who knows anything about science, who knows or believes anything about reproduction, I mean, you don't even have to go to school. We all know, people in the village know this is true. They know this is true. People in the most remote part of the world, if the father was a farmer, you see, the children, many of them, they have the propensity for farming. If the father was an artisan, was or some artistic person or some craft man or some, you see that thing, if they're a carpenter, there's that thing that within, there's something deposited naturally in the DNA that makes the children mirror the father, because they came from him. Now, this is the more important fact, the more important truth, I should say. As a child of God, you have God's DNA. Your spiritual birth identifies you with God's nature. As a child of God, why? Because it was God's sperm that produced you and me. So as a result of that, we have God's DNA. Regardless whether we feel like it or not, we carry God's DNA. We have a part of the divine nature. I want you to look at, if you have a Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3. Forgive me, I'm laying some foundation here as well. So I'm throwing a lot of these thoughts at you and truths and principles, and they're all based on single scriptures. I'm not reading long pieces of scripture like sometimes I would do. These are just short verses of scripture, but the principles that I'm sharing with us tonight are all born out of the scriptures. You can see this. Now, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. Notice, because of how we are born, who's responsible for our birth, we are partakers of the divine nature. Listen, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have already dodged. We have already escaped the corruption in the world. Notice, remember where we're coming from. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world because we are born of God. We have a part of the divine nature. Now, you know, the Amplified Version usually would put so many words, and sometimes you can lose the thrust of it. Try not to do that. Listen, I'm going to read out to you verses 3 and 4 from the Amplified. Just focus on the part that's really important here. It says, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are adequate and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence or virtue. This is how we were born again. Through the knowledge, it's through the word of God. We receive the sperm. The word of God is described as the sperm of God. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute. If we can't get to it tonight, we'll get to it next week by God's grace. I'm almost done tonight. Just laying some foundation here. I'm almost done. But the divine nature is in you. The divine nature is in you. Now, verse 4 in the Amplified says, by means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay. Listen, the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and you have become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. All right, long story short, because we are born of God, and because the seed of God is within us, we are now partakers of the divine nature. Very simple. Very simple. Just like with our biological fathers, because we were born by their sperm cells, we carry something that they carry. Therefore, we are like them. There's certain things about us that are like them, good or bad. In the same way, because we are born of God, we carry his DNA. Now listen to this. This will excite you. There is no bad and there is no failure in God. Oh, glory to God. You ought to write that down if you're taking notes tonight. There is nothing bad and there is no failure in God. Glory be to God. He is all good and he's all victory. He's all good and he's all victory. God will do us. I think there's a good, some part of our confession. The Lord God will be good to us. God will do us good. Something good will happen to us. You remember for, James chapter 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no shade, no shadow, no darkness of turning. That's the one whose DNA we have. There is no bad in God, nothing bad in God. There is no failure in God. God is all good, and God is all victory. Hallelujah. That makes me want to shout. How about you? God is all good and God is all victory. And that's why he guarantees our victory, because he's all good and he's all victory. Now, some of you online tonight might wonder why we had to go through this merry-go-round. This is so, so, so deeply important. This is so deeply important. When you realize that your victory in life is unfolding, when you realize, I'm going to use a word that I don't believe is in the dictionary, that hopefully I might come back and allude to this next week. When you realize that the divinization of your life, sorry about this. It's not a dictionary word. Divinization. Hallelujah. That is as it is happening, it is unfolding. It is happening, it is unfolding. Some part of God, more part of God, more part of God are rubbing on you. More part of God are rubbing on you. More part of God are rubbing on you. That's what I call divinization. Because you carry the divine nature. You carry his DNA. As more part of God become rubbed off on you through the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit, and as we cooperate more with him, victory unfolds. Victory unfolds. Remember, there's good and bad in our natural human nature. But as we partake more and more of the divine nature, good, more victory rubs on us. This is why I told you, victory is unfolding. In fact, this is so powerful, and I know I'm way ahead of myself. I don't want to get past this foundational thought, but it's deeply exciting just because of the way it ministered to me personally. You know, when he says that, he talks about we've escaped the corruption. Now, the ultimate scriptures that talk about victory is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Says this mortal will put on immortality. It hasn't happened yet, but he says he will. And then he says, when it does, at the end of the day, he says, then we will say, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is the grave or sin, as the Bible says it. And then he says, ultimately, when that happens, we will have the final victory. Now, so you see, your victory is unfolding. It's unfolding. Why don't you just look at that? Our time is, I'm going to stop in just a minute here. So look at that scripture, because this is just blew me away in studying that scripture. Totally took me over. Couldn't stop shouting about it. Just totally wrecked me. Just totally. I just became a mess. Just excited in that scripture. Your victory is unfolding. Your victory is unfolding. You are more than a conqueror now. You may not feel like it. You may not even see the evidence of it, but it's unfolding now. Now listen. In the different areas of life, the battles that we fight, the issues of life, the attacks of the enemy that come at us, difficult challenges, whether maybe health challenges, maybe financial difficulties, maybe problems in relationships and problems on the job and, you know, difficulties of life, just because we're in the world. Remember Jesus saying, you are in the world, so yeah, there will be trouble. So, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, even though some of those things, we see them and we experience them, our victory in those things are guaranteed. Just like this ultimate victory is promised, there is victory promised in those things. When it is all said and done, we win. Glory be to God. You win. I've got to close. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 right here. Let me read this. I want to read this. And I want to read one more scripture. And we're going to just pray. I want you to shake something. I want you to shake something. I want you to take hold of your victory and shake something. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is, you know, notice now when that happens. It hasn't happened yet. But when it eventually happens, he says, then it will be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the last enemy. That's the last enemy. He says, oh death, verse 55, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Look at verse 55. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God who is making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice now, he's talking about our victory unfolding. As sure as you have your natural flesh, as sure as you are alive physically, he's saying you will not even experience the ultimate victory until you exchange this physical being for the supernatural being that God is going to give to us at the rapture or when we are taken home. But now, even now, your victory is unfolding. It is a settled fact. It is the truth. Why? Because you carry God's DNA. You belong to him. You belong to him. And I think I should stop here. I think I should stop here and pick it up. Hopefully do a little bit of a review next week and then pick it up from here. There's a lot of deep truth that I believe that we will get around together. The Lord will help us with in his word. Your victory is guaranteed. God guarantees your victory. What is our assignment tonight, which of course we'll carry on to next week? Know who you are of. Know who you are of. Say these words with me. I know I am of God. Say it again. I know I belong to God. Say this again. I know I am from God. Say this last time. I know God is inside me. That's the guarantee of your victory. Do you receive that, child of God? You are more than a conqueror. Regardless of what you feel right now, regardless of what your experiences are right now, you are more than a conqueror. Your victory in God is guaranteed. You are sure to win. You will win. Do you receive that?